and welcome to a special Comics Burst from the Full Force podcast, sponsored by Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, where we take an in-depth look at the newest G.I. Joe comics and related titles of the week, with me as your host, Chris Lord McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me for the second time now on this special series of episodes is GoBot expert Baron Von Dave Newman. On this installment of your absolutely favourite kind of burst, we conclude our look at the new GoBots comics by Tom Scioli with issues 4 and 5. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this comics burst. What dark secret lies at the centre of Gobotron? You won't believe the answer. That's a short synopsis from the IDW website for GoBots issue 4. I feel like they got to the fourth one and were just like, just put anything down for now, just get it out there. Because the first three synopses were like really long, so I'm really surprised that they've just given us one sentence here. Dave, have you got anything to start us off with?
Last time we reviewed the issues, we talked a lot, we were really effusive, we gave it lots of high stars. This time, not so much.
Spoiler alert.
Really, it really went off the boil. We were actually talking last time, as I recall, not that I've gone back and checked, but last time I recall that we were talking about the potential that maybe it had been too heavily sort of front-loaded with cool stuff and lots of action, and kind of bearing in mind Tom Scioli's way of writing based on the Transformers vs. G.I. Joe series. We kind of had our concerns of, is he going to sustain the quality through the rest of the series? And ultimately, the answer is no. It went off the boil. But we also talked about how would there be potential for further GoBot series as well? And yeah, maybe, but probably not, because he's wasted most of his good ideas in these five issues. The problem with it is that he kind of changed tact as he was going on. We noticed that in issue 3, and with the astronauts that came into the story, there was a turning point, and then it kind of went to the Gobotron story with Zod and Spacey and the astronauts, and all this was really unclear. We didn't really have their names or anything like that, and this continues through. Last issue, as I recall, we saw the Rock Lords towards the end of the issue, so we were talking about how they may turn up. They were in the solicitations as well. Yeah, they've turned up, but was it worth them turning up? I might have said, if we're going to have a second GoBots miniseries, why not make that Battle of the Rock Lords or some such title, whatever you want to call it. There's just too much going on, and it kind of falls back into the old habits that he had in the Transformers vs. G.I. Joe crossover of little mini stories going on one page, and then they're done and kind of, I'm done now, and let's get on to something else, and then we might come back to it, but there's no kind of consistency or continuity going on through it, and it, unfortunately, is a disappointing end towards the series.
For me, this fourth issue, it just seems to be really confusing, really there's so much going on, and it really is. Like, you know, we have the astronauts kind of like walking through what is Earth, and they're like, yep, this is Earth. They take all the gear off, like, you know, they realize they can kind of breathe on the planet and everything, although I don't know how they just decided that, considering they've just gone, it's not Earth as everyone knew it, but they're there walking around without their gear on.
They're scientists.
Yeah. They come across this very early human race who have regressed into like almost Neanderthal, basically going all the way back to their...
Yeah, they've devolved.
Yeah.
The message there is they've become too reliant on technology, so therefore, them personally, they've devolved.
Yeah, and then from that point on, we just get this random, like, I don't know, it's just series of events that don't really make any sense to each other. You know, we have the Rock Lords in there. We have, I don't know, the monster bots. We have little kind of throwbacks of information kind of coming through as to how they got to this point. Very like little bits and pieces kind of thrown in to kind of like start building towards what, you know, the not the big reveal as such, but like how it all came about and how it all happened. And, you know, we see like Turbo reminiscing, talking about AJ and how she was a freedom fighter in the last days of the ascendancy of humankind and all this stuff. So we're getting some almost explanation of what has happened in the lead up to where we are now. Leader One is still going on about this lance, finally gets hold of it to obviously to fight Zod or to stick it in Zod's tummy to stop him. And then Psykill turns up, takes it off him very easily, and just busts it in half. And that's the end. That's the end of that kind of that issue. There's a couple of nice homages in there in this issue. We do get Coptor using his copter blades, much as he did in the early kind of episodes of the cartoon, forcing people back with the kind of wind aspect of it. But then obviously then trying to use it as a chopping device. He gets his filled in by by Leader One, and we just kind of, I don't know, it's not difficult to follow. It's just I don't really know where it's going or why it's going there.
Yeah, I'm just gonna step back a second and consider things like Copter getting his filled in based on your word, and also Leader One wanting to stick his laser lance into people as well. I'm just gonna just gonna throw those out there and leave them as is.
Posted without comment.
I mean, it's very, very kind of you to reference that. You know, yeah, Copter used to take the rotor blade off his back, and he didn't take it off his back because when he transformed into robot mode, it disappears into him. It's magic. It's Optimus Prime's trailer. But at the same time, sometimes he can use it as a fan, or he can use it just kind of one blade as a sword. So yeah, he's very kind in sort of mentioning little homages.
Positives.
Yeah, I mean, to me, and that might help me with my next point, which was that in thinking about it before we did this, I think it's a little bit like a Quentin Tarantino movie, but without the story substance to it. You know, there's some quite cool scenes. The Neanderthal man, Psykill, with his face removed, and he looks really kind of ugly underneath it. Dr. Braxis is this, he's like in Vamp's fetus or something like that.
Yeah, he's like kind of almost like controlling
controlling all those Vamp robots, and you can't tell. He kind of looks like Anton Arcane from Swamp Thing. You can't even tell if he's got legs. It's almost like he's kind of cut at the waist, but at the same time you can sort of see maybe a bit of one of his thighs. You got AJ, who looks like she should have been in like a G.I. Joe Special Missions.
Yeah.
Courageous turns up as the GoBot guard. I'm just flicking through this now to go through, you know, the different things that they're doing. There is a lot. You can't call it boring, but at the same time, you can't necessarily call it good either. Where do we get to at the end of it? We kind of get to a bit of an odd place, and I'm going to relate back to you reading the solicitation and how sort of vague that was. And maybe that vagueness is because they didn't have an idea of what to sell it as. I mean, if you actually look at the cover at the end of issue 4 for issue 5, the next month, the jaw-dropping conclusion, you've actually got a case there that Leader One is carrying the limp or dead body of Psykill. To the contrary, and I didn't actually believe that he was dead at the end of issue 4, but Leader One dies at the end of issue 4, and then you see blue repaint of him and come on home, the mission's over from sort of Nick's ghost. And should that really be happening in a GoBots miniseries? I mean, I know you kind of want to not do the same old, but to me, and this will kind of roll us into issue 5, to me, you've got to have that conclusion at the end of issue 5 of Leader One beating Psykill. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, so I get what you're saying about the Leader One thing, and yeah, I do agree with that to a certain extent. Like, for one, comic covers have never, they never seem to link directly to what's going on into the bloody comic. Like, you know, you could be really vague with it, and still it has nothing to do with what's going on inside the actual comic itself. And this is a perfect example of that, and one that really does bug me. Why on earth are they asking the artist, or are they letting the artist do this? Is it to throw off the reader? Because I didn't, to be honest, I didn't even notice until you mentioned it. How funny is that? It didn't even dawn on me, because I've been reading these comics, hardly paying any attention to anything but what's on the pages inside. And I don't know, I just got to the point where at the end I was like, oh, they've killed Leader One. He'll probably be reanimated next issue or whatever. There'll be something that brings him back. Or when I saw the blue repaint of him, I thought, oh, that's going to have something to do with it, and he'll come back and it'll be the blue version.
Yeah,
like that'll be his soul kind of like come back into him or whatever.
Yeah,
and then that's, I think, what I was thinking when we get into the issue 5 in a second. That's what I was just expecting to see in the next issue, him back and Psykill dead. Now, in terms of the end of this issue, I still was kind of like, huh? So in terms, yeah, like, let's get into ratings. What would you give it out of five?
Well, I think the highest we went last time, I don't think we went to five, but we possibly went to four. I really feel like it's such a drop off that it probably has to go down to two.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think I'm going to have to give it two as well. It's just, you know, as a standalone comic, and even in the series, it's taken a real weird, and you could see it going from one to three. There was definitely, it was getting more Scioli as it was going on. It was getting a bit crazier, a bit more kind of out there. And that wasn't, I was kind of enjoying the fact that the first couple of issues were actually very straightforward, and there was like a very chronological, or like a very like A to B kind of storyline going on.
Yeah.
But then we hit like three and it was like, no, okay, it's still good, it's still all right, and I quite like the thought of where he was going with it, and you know, it was a good way to explain the story of Earth and Gobatron and everything, and there was a good reveal at the end. I really enjoyed that. But then we get to this issue four, and it just goes full Scioli, doesn't it? It goes like crazy off the out the, or like the dialogue becomes really randomly weird.
Yeah,
you get some odd kind of responses to things, and we'll probably find that more so in issue five, but I do have to agree with you. It's definitely a two for me as well. And yeah, and that kind of brings us to the end of issue four. Let's move on to issue five. Are we going to get an increase or a decrease? Let's find out.
We'll find out.
The jaw-dropping conclusion to Tom Scioli's epic tale is here. The fate of all GoBots hangs in the balance. So at least we get two sentences this time, but again, it's like they couldn't be bothered with the solicitation there on that one.
They just recycled them from something else.
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
The epic conclusion.
Jaw-dropping conclusion. Nothing will be the same again. Tale hangs in the balance. Yeah, it's like, whatever. The fate. Take us through it, Dave. What are your thoughts on five?
Much the same. And I want to preface it as well by saying I don't sort of take any offence to some of the things that he did in the issue. It's not a case of I've become, oh, you've spoilt it, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah,
I'm not offended by anything that he's done. I don't think he's made good choices with it, but I'm not offended by what he's done. Just going through the issue, we kind of get a bit violent. We've got people getting set on fire, people being disintegrated, people being shot through both eyes, going through the back of their head. We've got that sort of tone, that sort of violent tone to it that we've seen previously as well. Just as I'm looking through it, just a fun thing I like is that I do like the illustration of Turbo on his back, but using his tires to sort of zip himself backwards. So that's pretty, and shooting at people from the ground. So that's pretty cool. If you're going to have fun like that, have fun like that. I have no problem with it. As I was saying in the review of issue four, Leader One's dead. Leader One shouldn't have been dead. The logical thing, maybe he's not trying to do the logical thing, but the logical thing is to keep your main hero alive to the end of the story arc. It's not Game of Thrones season one with Ned Stark, so you know, we're not dispensing of Sean Bean too early. We can keep Leader One in. Instead, it's Turbo who's the hero of the story. He's the guy that gets to kill Psykill, and then all seemingly will be right with the world. All of a sudden, you know, he's going to go steady with Crasher. It's kind of like had zero build up. They're going to leave Earth. They're going to leave the astronauts behind. They're going to leave the primitive mankind behind. And then they return to Gobatron, and it's an attack from Raxus and these vamps again. And then out of nowhere, although not really out of nowhere, because he'd kind of been referenced earlier in possibly, I think it was issue three, Road Ranger, and he comes and he cuts all these vamps up into pieces. And then we find out that he's basically Optimus Prime. And he's got Bugbite with him, who's basically Bumblebee. They're going for all the stock things, more than meets the eye, roll out, all this sort of stuff.
Transform and roll out, amazing.
Yeah, and you know, I doesn't offend me, but it's kind of like, you could have done something else. You didn't need to do that. And then they kind of, I mean, it's open ended. There's kind of a bit of a sort of time loop thing going on that possibly they could return and do more, and maybe something could go wrong on the Earth or the pass that they've set. And the sound of my voice should say it, I was just underwhelmed.
Turbo finds out it was kind of his fault that Scoot is kind of messed up,
mm-hmm.
because he was kind of reminiscing going past the reprogramming center. And he's kind of like thinking, oh, you know, I'm gonna look at the recording of this particular, you know, Scooter's kind of reprogramming.
Yeah.
And he watches it, and it's basically Scooter is pleading with Leader One to, you know, to basically make him forget. He said it's all too much for him.
Yeah.
So Leader One is like, you sure you want to do this? And Scooter's like, yeah, absolutely, yeah, please, please. So as it, you know, as he's being reprogrammed, or, you know, having his mind wiped, I'm guessing only to the point of getting rid of some of the memories that he has, Turbo comes in thinking that it's all wrong and what the hell is going on and why are you doing this to Scooter, and tries to rip it off his head.
Yeah.
And that's where it's like, you idiot, you know, you're interrupting the process. And then he realizes, yeah. Oh my God, I'm the reason Scooter is the way he is, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, that was quite, I quite like that. And that obviously made him really angry. And that's when we get him doing his crazy attack on the Renegades, and which he then shoots, like you said, he shoots Cycle through the eyes, which is like, okay, it's very, the whole thing screams to me like a John Woo action movie. It's all very like sliding around and dodging and doing crazy things, and double guns and all that kind of stuff. It is what it is. I prefer this issue to the last one, so this is gonna get a higher rating. And we also get like the fact that Gobatron kind of separates to expose Earth and then connects again and then flies away. I quite liked that aspect as well. I thought, oh, brilliant, you can, you know, now we've got Earth separate, like a new Earth, like a future Earth, and we've got this Gobatron basically forming a different universe, effectively a different kind of set of moons and so on. And then we also, yeah, like you said, we had that time travel aspect where we find out that the dematerializer is actually a time machine, or can be used as a time machine. And Spacey and some of the scientists go back in time to warn Earth of their impending doom. And that's where we finish. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. You know, that they're basically trying to tell this is the situation. I'm guessing it's, I don't know, the president, do you think? Or who do you think that is? Or is it just the guy that's heading the NASA team? It's probably the guy that's heading the NASA team, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, for the amount of interest that's on his face and his attachment to his mobile phone, it could be very close to the current president. So.
I think that might be like a little, yeah, could possibly be, you know, could possibly be. And then, you know, it's that he's even saying, oh, that's weird, our Gobots are building a space station called Gobatron.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's how it starts. And that's basically it.
And also, after the you're talking about those moons as well, which the kind of the implied thing is that they're little Cybertrons.
Yeah.
So talking about a multiverse. So it's kind of Gobots begets Transformers.
Mm. Yeah, this is the origin, isn't it, of Transformers.
Yeah. Originally. Yeah, and it's kind of like, yeah, I get what you're saying there. I'm not infused, but yeah, I get what you're saying there. They take the parts of Leader One and Psykill, and they basically make Starscream out of it. So
that I found that quite that's a deep cut, because that's almost like them saying you've got the maniacal kind of take over the world aspect of Psykill, but then you've got something about the character in Starscream who becomes like the leader of Cybertron at one point and doesn't have an agenda like that, and becomes almost like shows a little bit of a good, almost like a balance of the character. So am I overthinking that a bit too much? Because it seems
I think you are, because I don't think that the IDW Transformers would be in Tom Shirley's frame of reference. I think it's 80s. I think it's Transformers Generation 1 cartoon Starscream, or Transformers Generation 1 comic Starscream. So I think it's just a case of, here's this monster that we're building unknowingly.
Yeah, cool. And that probably makes more sense, actually, totally. Okay, what about rating for this particular issue?
Show me yours and I'll show you mine. What would you say, Chris?
I'm going to give it a generous 3.5.
Crikey, that's almost synergy level scoring. I'd say 2.5. I'd say it's better than issue 4. I don't think it returns to the form of one, two, or three, but it's better than issue four, but not as good as the rest. So I'll give it 2.5 and meet it in the middle.
I kind of just felt there were more moments in this that I got more out of, and there were more kind of good references, and it seemed to return to a more A to B scenario as opposed to just all over the place things going on. It was like Turbo's going, this is what Turbo's mission is. He does it. He finishes it. Then they meet the other GoBots and they have the little battle, and then all of a sudden it's like the new are taking over. And then like the different moments from that come off it was like that was a bit better for me. It was just it returned to that A to B format where four had just kind of, let's just go nuts.
Yeah.
And I just wish it had been more cohesive. And I wish, and I think, like, from an overall perspective, I'd give the whole series probably a 3. I'd give it like a middle score for the whole series. What would you say on that one?
Yeah, I think that's fair. It reminds me of an essay I was writing that was 4,000 words earlier this week, and as I got closer to the 4,000 word limit and was struggling, the less good it was.
Yeah,
it was good at the start. Then it started to lose a bit of quality, and then the end of it was waffle. And that applies to the GoBot series, yeah. I think give it a 3 out of 5 as an overall series. Do I think that there'll be another one? Nah. No, at this point, I don't think there will be. But you had it for a little while. It was fun. It was fun until it wasn't fun. And then it kind of got fun again a little bit. But yeah, we won't see any more GoBots. But at least we got to see them. At least we got to see Visionaries and Battle Beasts. Might not have been good, but we got to see them.
It's definitely open-ended for a return for all these characters, because obviously you've got the time travel aspect where they've gone back in time. So what effectively could happen is that they could, if they do another story, which... you're right. I mean, I don't know what the sales figures have been on this one, and that's what it really relates to.
That's absolutely where it is, yeah. If it hasn't sold well, we won't see them again.
Yeah, if it's done good sales, we'll more than likely see another Tom Scioli kind of series if the sales have been good. What that means is we could more than likely we'll see Leader One, Psykill again, because, you know, that's what the time travel aspect has given us. Yeah, it's given us that kind of reignition. And that's the thing, no one ever really truly stays dead in comics anyway. Mm-hmm. It's never, you know, it's never a thing. Like, even in the same continuity, you can bring someone back if you want to. So Prime's come back multiple times. He died at the start of a film, if you remember rightly.
No, I never heard that. My question for you, Chris, before we finish,
yep,
is I don't think we'll see GoBots back, but I think we will see Tom Scioli back. The question is, on what? So if there was something that IDW was going to put out that they've got access to do, what would you see Tom Scioli taking a crack at?
I reckon, like, well, obviously there'd be the thing that IDW, I don't know what IDW has and hasn't got, in terms of new stuff, but if they could get hold of some like other unknown 80s brands, then something like Supernaturals.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I could see the Supernaturals being done by in Scioli's style, that kind of like wobbly style.
Sure. Yeah.
And maybe even something like, well, actually, I'll tell you what I could see. I could see him doing a return to the Transformers G.I. Joe crossover because that sold so well for him. That did really well for him. And also the fact that it even spawned merchandise. So even if it's Marmite for a lot of people, I think more people seem to like it because I suppose you had the Scioli fans on top of the G.I. Joe and the Transformers fans. So there's like a bigger market immediately there. There's like three markets that you're drawing from. And I think that... yeah, we'll more than likely see a return to that. But I think Supernaturals would be a good one for him to do.
Yeah, that would be fun. You know, kind of the Spooks and Bernhardt and all those different characters. But one that I mentioned a few minutes ago, and I could see him having fun with it, how good it would be, I don't know, is I'd say to him, look, here's all the Battle Beasts. Have a go at a Battle Beasts miniseries. Because it couldn't be worse than the one that they did previously. So, you know, just say to him, look, you got all these characters, wood, fire and water, have at it, create your own world and go from there. So I'd actually be interested in seeing a Tom Scioli Battle Beasts series. Will it happen? Nah, but it'd be nice.
I don't think it can happen for two reasons. One, they've got the Battle Beast's name, and that's obviously through Diamond Select Toys, who have got the Battle Beast's kind of license for the name. But they don't have the IP, so there would be an issue there of having to get Takara and, you know, they're kind of them on board for it. And I don't know how psyched they would be to do that based on the fact that Hasbro lost the Battle Beast's name.
Right.
So, you know, obviously there's all this kind of stuff where you've got Hasbro losing the Battle Beast name, but you've got Takara owning the IP for what Battle Beasts effectively is in Beastformers. So there's so much like red tape in that. I don't think it's possible to do that, but that would be one I would like him to do. I'd like to see him do Visionaries. I think that would be quite fun in this style and might give Visionaries like a retro, pull it into the retro styling that we've missed out on.
I'm a little bit precious about Visionaries and masks, so that's why I didn't suggest them. But with Battle Beasts, if you can't do it, that white lion with the blue armor on, or the big gorilla with the red armor on, or the big elephant with the hammer hand and all that sort of stuff, you can't do those ones. Ain't worth doing.
Yeah,
so.
True. Okay, so do Supernaturals and do Battle Beasts next, Tom. Thank you.
Yeah, Supernaturals. I'll settle at Supernaturals.
And again, I don't know who owns that. I don't know who has that. So obviously IDW don't, because they'd have done something with it.
They would have done something by now.
Yeah. They'll do what they usually do, and they'll just get the license off whoever owns it. But I have no idea. Off the top of my head, I don't know who has that.
I don't want to say that they were Tonka toys, but might be wrong.
It could be with Hasbro by accident, but then they probably wouldn't have re-upped the name, so the name's probably licensed out somewhere else, or someone else has got it in the hope that someone does something with it, so they have to buy it off them. Anyway, thank you for jumping on for the two parts, Dave. It's a shame that the second part wasn't as strong.
Well, I tried my best here, Chris. I know what you're talking about. Maybe I can come on and talk about Transformers with you and actually have a bit of positivity about it. So
I don't know. Not if I'm going to be on the episode as well.
I'll try and battle you out. I won't try and battle that hard, but, you know, I won't be boxing. I'll just kind of get like a stick or something.
You'll get like
and
a jab.
And sort of say, Enjoy it.
A couple of jabs. We'll get to our Transformers issue. You too very soon, but thank you very much for jumping on, Dave. Really appreciate it, mate.
You're welcome, no problem.
That's it for this installment of the Full Force Comics Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host Dave Newman. See you next time, and as always, full force.
Full Scioli.
Full.
You actually said full Scioli earlier, and I almost kind of went full Scioli.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter @TheFullForce, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback or questions. We have also started a Patreon page, so if you want to see your name up in lights on these videos or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force. And a big shout out to our sponsors, Distant Planet Comics and Collectibles, located at 601 Business Loop 70 West Suite 263, located in the Parkade Center, Columbia, Missouri. You can visit their website at distantplanetcomics.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/distantplanetcomics.